Chapter 5 Fire and Air. The Griffhound snuffled at the floor. The blood trail had stopped suddenly, deep within the maze of log stacks and support beams, as if the cursling had vanished entirely. Karras glowered about him.
"Gone," he said, his voice echoing.
"So it seems," Gage replied. "It led us a merry chase. We should have caught up to it." Somewhere behind them, he could hear Coover and Bryn giving good account of themselves against their foes. He longed to go back and help them, but he knew that tracking the cursling was more imperative than killing a few acolytes. Capturing the creature might enable them to find its master if Karras could compel it to talk. At the very least, they might learn why every stack of wood in the warehouse seemed to be suddenly sweating demonic ichor. He glanced at a nearby stack, lip curling in disgust. The smell, like tar and sugar, clung to every scrap of wood in the place.
"Which stink," he murmured.
The air had gone muggy and thick. It felt like breathing soup. He had experienced such unnatural heat before, though, thankfully, only rarely. It built in places of foul magic, like a pot being brought to boil.
"We are being watched," Karras said.
Gage gripped his sword tightly.
"More acolytes?" "No, these are not human eyes."
The Stormcast turned, head tilted as if scenting the wind. Perhaps he was. Karras's senses were greater than those of a normal man, as were his strength and fortitude. Gage looked around.
"Demon, then."
Every instinct he possessed was telling him to get out of the warehouse, to find the others and run. Burn it, as Coover had suggested, and purge the entire Docklands if necessary. Some among his order would not have hesitated to do just that, but Gage preferred subtler methods of investigation, though he supposed subtlety was no longer an option in this instance.
"Perhaps," replied Karras, "perhaps something worse." "There's nothing worse than demons, in my experience."
Karras chuckled. There was little humour in the sound.
"Let us hope that is the case."
Gage shot him a glare.
"You didn't have to come, you know."
Karras looked at him.
"Of course I did. The protection of this city, the sanctity of its soul, they are my responsibility. The Hallowed Knights swore an oath. Hammerhal Gyra will not fall while the faithful stand."
In the dark, something laughed. The sound rose and fell in a rhythmical fashion, as if it were made by two voices laughing out of sync.
"Hammerhal!
Hammerhal!
Has!
Has!
Already!
Already!
Fallen!
Fallen!"
Like the laugh, the words were out of sync and echoed strangely. Two voices, one impossibly deep, the other almost a screech. Zephyr snarled and turned, scenting the air. Gage heard a walkway creak somewhere above. The logs in a nearby stack shifted. Something dripped across the floorboards with a steady sound that invaded his head and made it hard to concentrate.
"Coover was right," he said softly as he drew his pistol. "We should have burned this place."
The deep voice rose again, this time in a guttural chant. Motes of greasy light danced across the stacked logs. The rough bark split and twisted into grinning faces. Zephyr screeched, and Gage turned to find the animal staring at a nearby support pillar. The flat surface of the wood had a glimmering crack running vertically down its length. As they watched, several wriggling pink shapes emerged and bent like hooks to grip either side. Then, with a rough, wet sound, the aperture widened perceptibly. The light within flared, and Gage gagged as an eldritch stink wafted from it. A bulbous, unformed head thrust out, and eyes like lanterns fixed on him with hateful intent. Gage recognized the creature easily enough. Every knight of the Order of Azir was made to learn the many thousands of distinct, lesser demonic manifestations. Some were more common than others, like the demons known as horrors, and easier to draw up from whatever coruscating hell they inhabited. The pink horror flexed its two wide hands and crouched on stubby legs as it emerged fully from the rift, which shrank back to a vaguely shimmering crack behind it. The demon chuckled as it eyed Gage, its worm-like tongue lolling over its ramparts of teeth. It made as if to speak, but Carus swung his staff up and lunged. The Lord Veritant drove the staff into the demon's gaping mouth, shattering many of its teeth. He forced it back, pinning its fleshy form to the pillar it had emerged from.
"Who will carry his light into the dark?" he said, twisting the staff.
The demon gagged, clawing at it, groping uselessly for the Stormcast's hands.
"Who will gaze into damnation's heart unblinking? Only the faithful!"
There was a sound like an overripe fruit bursting, and the demon seemed to deflate, its pink form dissolving into flame. Its body split and slid from the staff, only to form into two new, smaller creatures, blue horrors. The blue-skinned little demons grumbled belligerently as they scampered away, trailing flames in their wake. Gage shot one before it could escape into the dark, and it splattered like hot oil. The bits of flaming flesh writhed for a moment before a group of even smaller shapes took form, coalescing out of the fire. They scattered like burning insects, and the sound of their high-pitched giggles echoed eerily about him.
"Demon filth," Carus said.
Zephyr snarled. The Griffhound crouched, her feathers ruffled, tail lashing. Her eyes were wide with rage. Ugly chortles rang out around them. Gage holstered his pistol and drew his second one.
"I think they heard you."
He heard a thump from above and looked up at the closest stack of timber. Pink limbs were squeezing out from between the uppermost logs, followed by the rotund torso heads of the horrors themselves. More pink horrors were oozing from the other stacks on all sides of them. Eldritch flames dripped down the logs and crept across the floor. Many of the horrors seemed to lack the strength to manifest fully, but others had no such difficulties. Chortling demons reached for Gage and Carus, trying to rip them up or casting flashing spirals of energy at them from their fingertips. Gage swept his sword out, trying to force them back. Steaming ichor spilled from the wounds his blade made, the blessings woven into its steel biting deep into demon flesh. Zephyr snarled and snapped at the protesting blue horrors when the smaller demons got too close.
"Carus," Gage said, "I think it's time to use that lantern of yours again."
The Lord Veritant drove the ferrule of his staff down and it cracked against the floor. Holding it there, he began to intone a prayer. His words beat upon the air like hammer blows. The lantern of abjuration began to glow with a holy light as Carus summoned its full power. The demons worked more frantically to pull themselves free of their wooden hiding places. They jeered and chuckled, but their eyes rolled with what Gage hoped was inhuman panic. They knew that the light of the lantern would banish them if Carus could complete his prayer. One of the horrors, quicker than the others, leapt for the Lord Veritant, hoping to interrupt him. Gage slid between them, second pistol levelled. He fired, blowing a chunk from the horror's rubbery skull. The demon staggered, burbling in rage. Then, more swiftly than he could follow, it leapt again, blurring into a frantic streak of glowing colour. Gage lunged to meet it. Ichor washed over him as his blessed blade pierced its form and disrupted its cohesion. It split into azure shreds, and two blue horrors tumbled away, complaining vociferously. Zephyr leapt upon one, savaging the squealing demon into burning tatters. The other began to weave its hands in a ritual fashion, but before it could complete its spell, a heavy form trod on it, splattering it like an overripe blueberry. The cursling thundered out of the dark between stacks, flail swinging. Carus staggered as the creature struck him a glancing blow, interrupting his prayer. The Lord Veritant spun his staff, trying to drive the creature back, but it pressed its assault. The flail cracked down, smashing the helm from Carus's head, exposing his dark features and a mane of wiry hair bound back in a thick plait. He dropped to the ground and rolled aside as the flail slammed down again, snapping floorboards.
"Carus!"
Gage tried to go to his companion's aid, but he was surrounded. The demons seeped up out of the stacks, clutching at him and giggling like demented children. He slashed at them, hoping the blessed steel of his rapier could harm them. Outsized fists cracked against his back and shins, causing him to stumble. Zephyr leapt onto the cursling, her beak tearing at its exposed flesh. The Trechle chattered and struck at the Griffhound with its staff, swatting the animal away.
Now!
Now!
You!
You!
Die!
Die!
Servant!
Servant!
Of!
Of!
The!
The!
Single!
Single!
Path!
Path!
The cursling roared, the Trechle echoing every word. Its flaming sword chopped down. Karas caught the blow on his staff. The force of it drove him to one knee. The crackling flames coiled about the staff and the Lord Veritan's forearms, scorching his silver warplate black. The Trechle waved a hand, and a bolt of sorcerous light burst from its palm. It struck Karas and dissipated into streamers of colour. Thin strands of lightning raced across the length of his staff and crawled along his armour. The demonic homunculus screamed in agitation and began to thrash on its roots, its fury shaking the cursling. The brute groaned and lifted its flail, ready to bring it down on the pinned Stormcast. Gage fought desperately to free himself from the demons. Lashing out with his fists and feet, as well as his sword, he momentarily broke loose. Stumbling slightly, he snatched his knife from his belt and sent it spinning towards the cursling. The blade sank into the cursling's unarmored wrist with a meaty thunk. Like his sword, Gage's knife had been blessed by the hands of the Grand Theogenist herself, and a thick steam erupted from the wound. The cursling's hand gave a spasm, and its flail fell to the floor. The brute turned, roaring in pain, and tore its blade loose from Karas's staff forcefully enough to send him tumbling to the ground with a crash of sigmarite. It lurched towards Gage, trailing blood from its wounded hand. The Trechle screamed imprecations and pounded a thin fist against the brute's helmet, as if trying to stop it from pursuing Gage. The witch hunter retreated, and the cursling pounded after him, smashing aside demons in its haste. Gage backed into a pillar. The flaming sword arced out, and Gage ducked aside. The blade bit into the wood and stuck, its fires crawling upwards as the pillar began to burn. Flames leapt to the logs and grew merrily. Oily smoke billowed. Past the cursling, Gage saw demons leap on Karas, their laughter tinged with something that might have been hysteria. The Lord Veritant lashed out with staff and sword, pulping unnatural flesh or separating groping hands from gangly arms. Sorcerous fire washed across his armour, leaving greasy stains on the silver, but doing no real damage. More demons joined the fray, hurling themselves at the towering Stormcast Eternal, trying to drag him down through sheer weight of numbers. The cursling left the sword where it was stuck in the pillar and groped for Gage. Its bloody hand, the tip of his knife still jutting from its palm, stretched towards his face. Gage fell back, thrusting his rapier at the brute in a vain attempt to hold it back. Its hand missed him, but only just. He scrambled upright. The broken body of a demon tumbled past, crashing into a stack of wood and momentarily diverting the cursling's attentions. Gage saw Karas bullying towards them, despite the demons attempting to restrain him. Their limbs smoked where they clung to him, and he brushed the creatures aside or crushed them beneath his feet. Demons scattered before him, yelping in dismay.
"Gage!" Karas cried. "Leave this creature to me!"
The cursling roared and turned, catching hold of the blade of Karas's sword as the weapon arced towards its head. It forced the Lord Veritant back a step, even as ichor poured down its wounded palms. Karas cursed and managed to kick the brute in the chest, knocking it against the pillar.
"I have killed stronger foes than you, beast," Karas growled.
The cursling grunted and reached around to wrench its sword free in a gout of burning splinters. Their swords connected, and the cursling's burning blade exploded into a thousand shards. The two warriors reeled away from each other as chunks of fiery metal scattered in every direction. Gage took the opportunity to slash at the distracted cursling, but his blade merely scraped its armour. The Treachle screamed and thrust the bladed tip of its staff towards Gage's face, trying to drive him back. The metal glowed white-hot. Gage parried the blow and rammed his sword into the Treachle's torso. It stiffened, a screech dying on its lips. Black ichor burst from its mouth, and the staff fell from its slack grip. It folded backwards, pulling itself off his blade. The Kursling moaned in agony and clutched at its parasitic passenger as if trying to wake it. At that moment, Karas rose up behind it, his armour all but black with demonic blood. His sword crunched through its backplate. He ripped the weapon free in a welter of ichor.
"Avaunt!" Karas said flatly.
Demons edged away as the Stormcast Eternal flicked ichor from his sword blade. The Kursling staggered away from the Lord Veritant, groaning.
"Father!"
it grunted.
"Father! Help me! Help!"
It turned, stumbling, reaching for something Gage could not see. The Treachle slumped down its back, body flopping limply as the Kursling sank to its knees. It fell onto its hands, wheezing. Gage felt sick. He stepped up to the beast, blade gripped in a trembling hand. It looked up at him. Its gaze was empty of its previous malignity. Instead, there was only brute incomprehension there now, like an animal that could not conceive of its own destruction.
"Help!"
it wheezed.
"Yes," Gage said.
He raised his sword and thrust it cleanly through the slitted visor of the Kursling's helmet, silencing its groans for good. It crashed to the floor and lay still. He jerked his blade free.
"Well struck," Karas said.
Gage had no time to reply. Even with the Kursling dead, the demons were still coming. They seeped from the logs and rose up from the floor, their forms twisting and expanding as they burst through the multicoloured smoke that was beginning to fill the warehouse. They laughed and clambered over the Kursling's body, as if its death meant nothing more to them than a momentary amusement. Karas lifted his staff, and his voice echoed like thunder as he completed the prayer of banishment that had been interrupted earlier. He slammed the ferrule down with an echoing crack. The azure glow within the Lantern of Abjuration brightened, then speared out to blinding brilliance. Shadows were burned away, and the half-formed demons with them. In the sudden silence, Gage could hear the clash of weapons, and Bryn's deep bull bellow. He hesitated. Karas caught his shoulder.
"We cannot tarry, Gage. These are delaying tactics. They are trying to hinder us."
Gage shook off the Stormcast's grip. He was right. It had been a trap, and they had walked into it. They'd stumbled on more than just a cult. This was something bigger. A sick feeling grew in his gut.
"The airship!" He looked at Karas. "The airship, Karas! We have to get to the airship!"
He turned and started in the direction of the quayside doors of the warehouse. The fire started by the Kursling's blade was beginning to spread, leaping from log stack to stack. Smoke choked the air, blotting out even the demon stink.
"Why? What is it?"
Karas asked as he loped smoothly in Gage's wake.
"You're right. This trap wasn't meant to kill us. It was meant to delay us, to buy time for the airship to slip its mooring and cast off. I only pray there's still time to stop them."
He hoped Bryn and Kuva would have enough sense to get out before the warehouse burned down around them.
"There! The doors!"
he pointed. The huge double doors were meant for moving heavy logs through. At the moment, they were closed and barred with an immense square beam. Karas put on a burst of speed. The Lord Veritant's blade slashed down through the beam, splitting it moments before his shoulder struck the doors. They slammed open with a deep boom of abused wood. Smoke flooded out into the open air. Gage ran after Karas and saw the hopeful traveller in all its glory. The airship resembled one of the low-slung galleys that plied the waters of the Verdant Bay, save that its masts bore no sails. Instead, They connected to several great green gas bags. These were marked with magical sigils, bought at no small cost from the mages of the Collegiate Arcane. The hopeful traveller was slowly moving from its berth. Crewmen bustled on the quay, throwing off the anchor chains. They scattered as Zephyr darted towards them, screeching.
"We have to catch it!" Gage shouted.
Karus nodded. They raced along the quay as the airship slid from its berth. The ship was picking up speed as the anchor weights were cast off, and it edged ahead of them. Gage had a moment of vertigo as he reached the edge of the quay and saw the vast green sweep of the city spin out below him, but he forced it aside long enough to jump. Heart in his stomach, he crashed against the hull. Flailing blindly, he caught hold of the bottom of the deck rail and hauled himself up, muscles straining, heart thudding. The rail shuddered, cracked, and burst as Karus struck it. The Lord Veritant crashed down onto the deck, staff in hand. Gage fell after him. He scrambled to his feet, kicking his way free of the broken rail. Behind him, he heard Zephyr shriek in frustration as the ship left its berth, leaving the Griffhound standing on the quay. Gage glanced back as the animal turned away and darted back towards the warehouse. He turned around to see Karus drawing his blade.
"What now, witch hunter?" the Stormcast rumbled.
Karus stood tall, blade in one hand, staff in the other. Gage drew his rapier. The crew ringed them, weapons ready. They clutched a mix of belaying pins, knives and back-alley blades. They were hard-looking, and all bore the ever-shifting sigil of Tzeentch somewhere on their person, as her tattoo, a scar, or a badge pinned to their scarf.
"Drop your weapons," Karus growled. "Your souls are forfeit, but your lives might yet be ended in a merciful fashion."
The Stormcast thumped the deck with his staff. Lantern light washed outwards, casting strange shadows across the dark wood.
"And when have you ever shown mercy?"
The words echoed over the deck. Gage glanced aft. Two figures now stood at the rail, looking down at the lower deck. One was a heavy-set man, richly clad and wearing a golden mask similar to those worn by the acolytes, though more ornate in design, with proportions that seemed to twist and change as he looked down at them. One gloved hand rested on the pommel of the sword sheathed at his side, and he held a gold-topped staff. The staff seemed innocuous at first glance, no different to what any wealthy citizen might carry, but the strange runes that gleamed and crawled along its length were anything but innocent. The sight of them stung Gage's eyes and elicited a feeling of deep revulsion in him. The other figure was tall, abnormally so, and clad in strange, faceted armour that caught the light in odd ways. He wore brightly coloured robes of rich silk beneath the shimmering warplate, and balanced a long, two-handed blade across his narrow shoulders with a studied insouciance. His helm was archaic in fashion, tall and featureless, save for a thin slit for vision, and a multi-hued crest of horsehair which rose over it. The light of the lanterns hanging from the masts seemed to bend and shift strangely about the macabre warrior, and Gage found himself unable to look at the being directly. Even so, he could feel the warrior's fell power beating upon the air.
"Well, I don't recall inviting you two, but welcome aboard regardless," the heavy-set man in the golden mask said.
Though Gage couldn't see his face, he sounded amused.
"I suppose it's only fitting. What is the point of a grand working without an audience to appreciate it?"
He leaned lazily against his staff.
"My name is Rollo Tarn. I'm told you were looking for me."
"Rollo Tarn," Gage said. "Surrender yourself in the name of the God King and the Celestial Realm."
Tarn threw back his head and laughed.
"I do not recognize the authority of your tyrant god, witch hunter."
His armored companion joined in the merriment with his own hollow chuckles, and Gage felt his stomach lurch at the sound. He was certain now that there was nothing human under that armor.
"Whether you recognize it or not,
"It has come for you," Karras growled. He glared about him, and the crew drew back a step. Tarn looked at him.
"Come to burn more innocents on your holy pyres, Stormcast?"
Karras glared at him.
"You are not innocent."
Tarn spread his hands.
"No, I'm not at that. Not for a very long time, at least. But the blood I have spilled was done so for a great purpose."
"I've heard that before," Gage said. "It's always the way with your sort, that your great purpose inevitably amounts to the same thing, death and ruin. Not today." He extended his sword.
"Today, your purpose is unravelled."
Tarn looked at him.
"I think not. Fate is an ocean, and its tides can wear down even the mightiest of mountains. And these tides have been at work for a very long time."
"The wood," Gage said coldly.
"It's cursed."
"Blessed," Tarn corrected.
"Every scrap and sliver of it is both gate and key in one. I spent a fortune bringing it into the city, hiding its true origins, ensuring that it was used in every building I could. Now I will turn the key and throw wide the gate. But first, Aiek, bring me the Stormcast's lightning."
"It would be a pleasure, Coven brother," the tall warrior said.
He stepped up easily onto the rail and then off it, walking across the air as if it were solid ground. He hauled his blade off his shoulder, and it moaned eerily as he swept it about himself.
"That's no normal sword," Gage said.
"That's no normal warrior," Karras growled. "It is a fate master, another cursed slave of Tzeentch, and a far greater one than any cursling."
Gage tensed. Fate masters were among the deadliest of the diverse servants of the ruinous powers. They were fell warriors, infused with unnatural strength and longevity. The wind picked up, and the ship's rigging thrashed like a wounded animal. Gage could feel it pulling at him, threatening to knock him sprawling. His coat flapped about him, and his boot soles scuffed the deck as he was pushed backwards, step by step. Karras had no such difficulty. He stalked towards the approaching Fate Master, head bowed against the wind. The Lord Veritant slammed his staff down, and the wood of the deck buckled and blackened about the point of impact. The air took on an electric charge, and Gage felt his hackles prickle. The Stormcast released the staff, leaving it upright in the deck. The Fate Master dropped down, quicker than the eye could follow. His blade wailed like a lost soul as it swept towards Karras. The Stormcast interposed his own, and there was a sound like the pealing of a great bell as the swords met. Crew members were knocked sprawling by the reverberations of the blow, and Gage stumbled back against the rail. Lightning snapped and snarled about Karras as he met the Fate Master blade to blade. The demon sword keened piercingly, while Karras's judgment blade blazed brighter with every impact. For long moments, the only sound was the crash of metal as the two warriors circled one another, their duel carrying them from one side of the deck to the other. While all eyes were on the battle, Gage hurriedly reloaded his pistols. His hands moving on instinct, he let his eyes roam. The wood of the deck pulsed strangely in time with every blow. He wondered if the airship was made from the same wood that had been stacked in the warehouse. As if in answer to this thought, two deck boards at his feet bent away from one another like the lids of a monstrous eye, and something yellow and shimmering peered up at him. Its slit pupil contracted as it caught sight of him. He leapt back as more boards tore away, revealing a fanged maw. A slobbering laugh emerged from the mouth as he backed away. More eyes and mouths and waggling fingers began to emerge from the wood, piercing it as if it were a thin membrane. Indistinct shapes hunched and heaved, straining to free themselves. Coarse laughter filled his ears as demons swam through the wood in pursuit of him. Only the light of Karras's lantern was keeping them from fully manifesting.
"They're beautiful, aren't they?"
Gage turned, pistol raised. Tarn stood close by, watching him. Too close.
They're always there, you know, he said,
taking a step forwards. Crewmen surrounded him like an honor guard.
Watching, waiting. Zinch's hand is at your throat, though you see it not. His servants walk among you, serene and unknown.
He gestured to himself and the crew.
And now, the time has come for them to reveal themselves. They shall break through again, where they broke through of old, and the cities of men shall burn in prismatic fire. Not if I can help it. You can't, Tarn said.
He laughed and spread his hands. Scintillating flames blossomed on his palms and quickly engulfed his hands.
The rite has begun, and the crooked path stretches through Hammerhal Gyra. The city will belong to the Architect of Fate.